Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. As always, this is Josh Shores. I'm in our big high-tech podcast room, and this is our third season doing this, and that kind of blows my mind. I'm going to spitball a little bit before I introduce who's in this room with me, but three seasons of doing this is it's pretty remarkable. And we have listeners all over the United States. We have listeners in Wisconsin. We have listeners in Alaska. We have listeners in Florida. Sorry. Couldn't get the East Tennessee out of my mouth there. But I've got Brian Brummett. And what's his name?
Oh yeah. We put him on the other side of the building.
This is Robert Ingram. Robert is our general counsel, tax advisor, just all around good guy, very pleasant.
It was difficult pulling him out of his office during tax season to do this with us, but
yeah, I'm honestly not too happy about it.
This is easier to build us up and be on the positive
this
energy.
This is going to be so much fun.
It is good to be with you guys. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
But
right
see,
now.
What people need to understand, if you don't know Robert, I think, Brian, you'd probably agree with me on this. On the daily, Robert's talking and telling stories.
Absolutely.
All
and he's
the time.
Good at it. Yeah.
And which is great. And a lot of the times you're talking, I'm like, man, we should talk about this on the podcast.
Oh, because it's always
and
interesting.
And you ask him to do it, and he's like, I don't know.
And it doesn't even have to be about taxes or anything he does. He can talk about anything, and I'm sold. I'm in it. And can you talk to other people about this? No.
Well, Robert, I am going to, right off the bat, I'm going to throw you a softball right here. Are you ready? Don't swing it. What was that?
That was my phone. I'm sorry.
Please, silence your cell phone, man. Come on. What is this, amateur hour? Also, this is a great time for this disclaimer. If you hear any kinds of thudding or saws or whatnot, we do have workers here working on the roof today.
Yeah, we promise we're not the ones doing any labor. We couldn't figure it out if we wanted to.
We are not cutting anything or hammering anything. So I apologize for that inconvenience, but yeah, so here we go. Softball question. You ready for this? This is going to get you warmed up.
All right.
You guys went to a very special dinner last night. So, Robert, I want you to tell us a little bit about that dinner. Tell us who you saw. Tell us why you were there. And tell us why you're passionate about that.
So, we went to the Distinguished Citizens Dinner, held by the Sequoia Council Boy Scouts of America. So our local Boy Scout Council had a fundraiser, and the keynote speaker was Coach Joe Gibbs, the three-time Super Bowl winning head coach.
And five NASCAR championships.
Five NASCAR championships as well. He came in and he was the keynote speaker. We had a really good evening. We had a lot of good conversation at our table. We really enjoyed the event. Had a very motivational talk that have us inspired to go out and volunteer.
Yeah, Jared
and
Gibbs
make
is
our,
a good talker. He talk good. He talk real good.
He talk real good. He's on a good talking.
You can tell he's done it before. He's an amazing speaker.
I didn't know this, but he's actually from Appalachia. He's from Asheville, around Asheville, North Carolina.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
So that's where he grew up.
That's cool.
Yeah, and that's why he's a big NASCAR fan, because you know he's from the area.
I didn't realize that Joe Madden actually helped train him.
A few moments later.
if I heard this story right.
Who's John, Joe Madden?
I'm sorry, John Madden. You know,
and John Madden.
Yeah, no one Madden, here expects me to know this
everyone,
stuff. I know who John Madden is.
To all of our faithful listeners, you know that Brian doesn't sport. So Joe Madden,
you know, John
that's
Madden's
close
wife.
Enough.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's even that close.
He was close enough, but yeah. John Madden was the defensive coordinator for San Diego State, where Joe Gibbs started out as a coach. I think that's what it was. We could be butchering.
Was it
this.
There was three of the four coaches that started off together, and I don't remember who the other one was, ended up being Hall of Famers, and which is awesome, except for that fourth guy. It would really suck to be him.
That poor fourth guy. He just didn't make it.
He just couldn't quite. But you know the speech that... So this whole thing was to honor... first of all, bring awareness and bring money into the Boy Scouts of America.
That's right.
But they were honoring Mitch Walters over Friendship Ford. And I tell you, I was very impressed with him too. He came up there and he's like, I'm not as good of a speaker as Joe Gibbs, but I loved his speech. I thought He just the passion of helping kids and animals and things like that just radiated off of him. He was an amazing person to listen to.
That would be kind of defeating, having to go after.
He brought it up. He's like, I don't want to go after Joe Gibbs. I feel like y'all should. But I felt like he did a great job.
Unfortunately, there was an issue with the video that they were playing for him, but they were able to re-show it after his speech, and but so we got the whole deal.
But he had a good humor about it. He's like, yeah, guys, I was really concerned about what these people were going to say about me on the video, so I'm glad it went quiet. I guess the thing I didn't understand is why they made us watch the entire video without sound and then watch it again. I was like, cut it off here, but they ended up turning around, making it real classy.
Evidently, some inside baseball. Meadowview Convention Center has issues with their audio stuff, and so people usually bring in their own people.
Oh.
So maybe they'll look into that next time. But, so they were raising money for Boy Scouts of America here in the Tri-Cities area. And I'm very passionate about this particular organization. It's been a big deal for me in my life. I'm an Eagle Scout. I worked at a summer camp after graduating high school. And I believe in the movement and the program and teaching youth life skills so that they can become good citizens. And
I wanted to become a Boy Scout. After watching those videos, they had kids doing, was it beekeeping, archery, learning how to shoot.
Oh, black powder
swimming.
Rifles.
Yeah, like it was, I didn't realize how much stuff they did. Is it too late to sign up, Robert?
Well, you can volunteer as an adult if you guys
now,
want
I wanted
to, do
to
that.
Be a Boy Scout.
I think you just missed cut off.
Just barely.
Well, as an adult, you can experience all of those things with youth and help them, developing their servant leadership out in the outdoors. So,
and that's a big deal.
Yeah,
that is a big deal.
It's a big deal. And I really can't, praise it enough for the good it's done in my life and in the lives of those who were my friends. And I still get together with a group of guys. We're all Eagle Scouts. Every year we get together in January and talk about the good old days and talk about where our lives are right now. And it's been a
go
blessing
out in
to
the
me.
Woods, yeah. Do man stuff, take your shirts off.
Robert and I were talking about it earlier. I think the biggest thing that it does, I mean, it does teach these important life skills, but even more so than that, it builds confidence. And you can take that confidence and turn around and do anything with that. It like really empowers them to do, even if they're not interested in camping and man stuff, they could still go out there. And
yeah. Brian and I were talking about it earlier today, how, it seems like the primary extracurricular activities are sports for kids. And so,
which builds skills. Yeah.
You get skills, you get team building, you get, leadership in those.
But if your athletic abilities are like mine, it does not build confidence.
So I think there's something to learning life skills and especially outdoor skills. And so I encourage my children more towards scouts as opposed to sports.
Well, I think that's great. I mean, I was involved in scouts growing up when I was a kid.
You a Boy Scout?
No, I went to made it through Weeblo, so I was Cub.
He's like, no, my parents just kicked me out of the house 10 hours a day. Cub. Yeah. Played outside.
But no, it's I love the Boy Scouts, and I'm happy that we are able to support them in various ways, beyond financially, but also in volunteer ways as well. So
yeah, Robert's a big deal with
now
them.
Now that Robert's done flexing his Boy Scout resume.
How many badges do you have, Robert?
I didn't know you were like a senior quadruple staff leader trooper.
Some of those kids had like sashes with just...
Oh, Robert's got his. All over
it. I wasn't one of those guys. I only had, I think, maybe 30-some merit badges. I was just a bronze palm Eagle Scout. Okay. Some people go on to get, double silver palms, which is like 50 or 60 merit badges. I don't know. I've been out of the game too long.
Out of the game. I just
think it's cool. Yeah, the thing is Robert, like you were saying, he's so passionate about stuff. When he talks, it just makes you want to be involved in it. So I don't know. I love it. He asked me if I wanted to go, and whereas my typical MO is not to go out and have parties on the evenings, it was a lot of fun. I was glad he invited me.
Well, I have been to that event twice, I think.
Yeah.
This
was your first year not doing
it. I didn't get invited to go this year. Whatever, man. It's fine.
You're not part of the club, I guess.
My wife Mandy would have gladly switched places with you. Maybe we can do that next year.
I didn't want to meet Joe Gibbs anyways. I wanted to meet Joe Madden.
I just walked up to him and I said, "Mr. Gibbs, I want you to know I'm the biggest sports fan in the entire world." Was it? I heard that his offensive line wished they hit as hard as Tony Stewart.
Oh, gosh, Brian. Let's pivot. Today is Friday, February 23rd. By the time you're hearing this, it may be later on into February, because this is leap year, right?
Yeah, we have 29 days.
Anyways, so the world kind of stopped for a little bit yesterday for people who have AT&T. There was a service outage, and it was pandelirium. I couldn't even look on Facebook for like a good 4 hours because everyone's saying, "Does anybody have service? Does anybody have service?" I was like, "Why don't y'all read each other's posts?
Are they?"
No, you don't have service.
So I guess you don't have to have service to post on Facebook with
your
phone?
So if you have Wi-Fi, you can access through Wi-Fi, but you won't be able to have cellular.
You don't have your 5G or anything. Okay.
So
I'm what still thinking about pandelirium. Is that a word?
It is not.
Bam, lawyer.
But
I mean, it's an impressive one.
But
it really is.
It's kind of an homage to it's from Jeff Foxworthy. It's one of his skits.
Ah, I see. And the word itself, it lets you know what it means.
Sure.
Yeah, it communicates. But the thing about the AT&T thing, they did come out and say they do not believe it was a cyber attack. So as someone who invests very heavily in cyber securities, that was the first thing I checked for.
Oh,
well,
I
did do some legwork because, our podcast is getting a lot more credibility. It's getting kind of big and popular. So
we're kind of a big deal now, is what
you're
saying.
Yeah, and I did some investigating journalism. I reached out to AT&T. They sent me some information back. I wanted to read it to you. Initial review by the company found that the disruption was caused by the, quotes, application and execution of an incorrect process used as we were expanding our network, end quotes. Or simply put, a technical error.
It happens. I would hate to be that guy that accidentally pushed the button.
It happens statement I've ever heard. It's like, it's just a technical error.
The thing is, AT&T's like, people have lived without service for years before we came along. fun.
People were posting memes of like the Little House on the Prairie people, and they're like, "These are all AT&T users." Well, right, I just now. Love how
people lose service for a day and completely lose their minds.
So they messed around and they found out? Is that what happened?
Yes.
They didn't check themselves, so they wrecked themselves.
Look at you guys, keeping it classy for our family show.
Well, this is interesting.
Robert thinks that there's something deeper going on with this AT&T thing.
Oh, I just suspected the Russians for some reason.
It's always the Russians.
I tell you, there are a lot of subscribers for AT&T with the iPhone.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for the Bullseye podcast. I know, there are so many.
I don't know. I've got Verizon, so it didn't affect me.
I have T-Mobile.
T-Mobile?
Yeah.
Is that one of those where you got to buy the cards and load it on there type
it's
deal?
It's Cricket. Cricket Wanoa.
So is this a good sign for AT&T that their customer base is expanding, that they're ahead of the curve?
I mean, if their customer base is expanding and they're ahead of the curve, that would be good. Having the having a giant shutdown for an entire day probably wasn't the greatest thing
might have hurt business a little
bit.
Yeah,
that's not what you look for.
What's AT&T stock trending right now?
Let's see here.
But you could blame it on the nerds, right?
See, we're at 1680 as of today. Yeah. It's, you know, it's up about 18-19% over the last 6 months.
What about the last 24 hours?
Pretty flat. Okay. I'd say, you know, 5 days ago we were at 1698. Today we're at 1680. If we did have a big jump down Wednesday, very, very quickly, though. It went from $17 to $15.85 and then came back within like an hour.
Wednesday's the day before the outage.
You thinking suspicious activity over here, Josh?
Oh, Russia.
No, their stock,
I'm wondering about that.
Their stock
I thought
did drop
there were AT&T
quickly.
Customers that were having issues before then, like the business services ones.
I don't know. So let me. I'll shoot some more emails out. I'll get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, you figure that out.
We'll keep you up to date on all things AT&T. Whatever the conspiracy may be, we will break it. Probably not first. But as soon as someone else breaks it, I'll break it to you.
I'm
going
to have to let Peter know. I'm going to be like, hey, man, I know you were doing something important, but I think we accidentally turned the podcast into a conspiracy show. It happened really quick. The only difference was we added Robert this time.
Yeah,
so
it's definitely worth mentioning that, you know, Peter is out today. He went down to Nashville. He was one of the speakers at the investor forum. That's what led us to having Robert here, and we wanted to talk about taxes. More so, do we need to pay them? How serious are they with the IRS letters? You know, just general, you know, how to break the system. So Robert's also our compliance officer, and
tax season's not fun for him.
He always gets nervous about what I talk about, but I won't make you sweat too much.
Well, I think it's always a good idea when you report all of the income that you earned.
But you know good and well people don't do that. I mean, we do that. But we do, I'm talking and, like...
Yeah.
I don't want to call any groups
no,
out.
By law, we follow everything the way it's supposed to be done.
Yes.
Yeah, like there's...
And if I had any recommendation for people when they're doing their taxes, that the most important thing is making sure that you report everything on your tax return that you receive on your tax forms. That's probably the biggest trigger for a letter audit from
the IRS. What do you think people miss out on?
IRS.
Is it like an intentional thing? Or?
Oftentimes people have so many things going on, they just slip up and fail to report bank interest or...
Where a form gets to them after they file and they're like...
something
the
like that.
Yeah, no, I hate it that. Yeah,
so,
it's happened to me like twice. I've gotten everything lined up. It was good to go. And then here comes this random that I completely forgot about. And it's like, But it didn't make a big deal. It was mostly just an inconvenience.
For me.
Well, Josh is like, oh, here you go. For my tax provider. Well, the way the IRS works is they receive all of these tax forms for the payers of the income.
Yeah.
And so when you're filing your tax return, you're matching up what these payers have reported already with your tax return. And if something doesn't match together, then that's an automatic flag for the IRS, and they will generate through their computer system a letter saying that you're deficient. They'll just say that, hey, there was this income out there, you didn't report it on your return, and this is how much you owe. And that's normally what we see when we get correspondence from the IRS.
Yeah. What are a few other kind of common mistakes you think people might trip up on every year? Obviously, I think one, and this is me because I'm a little foreign to, you know, hands-on tax prep work, but I would imagine it would be hard for people to keep things organized. I feel like it would always be last minute with people. Does that make sense? And they come in with like a huge pile of papers, and
it's the last minute thing that hits my people a lot. But it's also, I get a lot of people, and Josh, you're one of them, that comes in and they're like, what deductions can I take?
Well, this is key. When you bring your information in early, it allows the tax professional time. And honestly, if you're doing them yourself, it gives you time to go through everything to make sure that you're taking advantage of every single benefit that the tax code provides. Congress doesn't make it easy for us. They are great at making things more complicated. And so the earlier you start the process, the better. You're going to be going through everything to make sure that you are getting every single benefit, because you leave money on the table when you don't report for a particular credit, whether it's, you know, paying education expenses on, you know, sending your kid to school, or it's, you know, remembering that you're taking care of a family member and they count as a dependent, and then they qualify for these credits. So it's important that you take the time to go through the whole process to make sure that you're getting every benefit.
There was one thing a few years ago, we were allowed to do $300 for an individual, even if you weren't itemizing in charitable giving. And that went away. Is there any indication that that's going to come back? I get asked about that a lot.
No, that was just a special one-time deal for COVID. And it probably had something to do with the latest set of tax reforms. But no, the biggest thing that's going to be happening is in 2025, the last tax reforms, most of them are going to phase out. And we're actually going to be talking about that for our Lunch and Learn that's coming up here next month. And so might as well throw out that teaser right now.
March 19th. RSVP connect to AFIadvisors.com.
So a lot of bells and whistles that were in the code that were passed along with the corporate tax reforms, a lot of those are going to be phased out. And so it provides a tax planning opportunity.
And those are the forms that were through President Trump.
That's right. Trump.
Yeah. Okay.
2017, 2018, I think it was 2017. Yeah, I passed a big package that was both corporate and individual. The senator from Wisconsin did a good job of negotiating for small businesses with that tax reform. So there was what is called the qualified business income deduction that was for small businesses, so that they're treated similar to these corporations. And so that's actually phasing out in 2025. Tax brackets are jumping back up to what they were before the tax reform. And also there are many other issues that we'll talk about with the Lunch and Learn.
It is exciting.
Yeah, I think it's really important to know that these tax laws change all the time, right?
They do. They're in the IRS's interpretation of tax law changes.
And one thing that has always been my biggest complaint with that is I feel like they do a very poor job of educating the general public on what those changes are. And so,
and I find they don't make it easy for professionals to interpret it either, because you can talk to two different people and get two different answers a lot of times.
So that's a little bit of kind of a humble brag, because I'm like, we utilize your skill sets heavily during this period because, you know, with everything continuing to change and there's always something popping in out of left field, it's just really beneficial to have you here helping us with that. So I just publicly gave you a compliment. You're
well,
welcome.
I appreciate that, Josh. And honestly, I'd like to say thank you to Peter for the informational services that he purchases so that I can stay up to date on all of these changes to the tax laws and rules and regulations.
Well, it is important for you to be able to continue doing your job and keep up with all the information. Certainly. So, I mean, it's a requirement to have you. Yeah.
Congress for sure doesn't make it easy for us to keep up to date on all the changes. The IRS, to be fair, has tried through educating tax professionals. They provide free lessons, webinars that I can watch, and I do from time to time. I usually every year do about four or five of those. But it's not reaching a very widespread audience from what I can tell. It's very difficult, you know, dealing with their budget and and prioritizing.
It's hard to get the information out there because most people don't want to even think about it if they don't have to.
That's right. People would rather think about something else.
And now one of the things I run into with people is they are so averse to paying taxes. I mean, I'm all for paying your fair share and no more, but I will straight up have people give up making a dollar to save 10 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean... Since we're having kind of this little come to Jesus meeting, I feel like this is very, I feel like I'm in therapy right now. I just gave Robert a compliment. So now I need to.
The world's turning the wrong direction.
Yeah, something weird's happening. So now I'm going to publicly apologize to Brian because he was right. When we started this conversation, I do hound him about deductions.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
As soon as I come in, I'm over there. We're two offices away, right?
Yeah.
I'm over here like Googling stuff. And I'm like, Brian, I got a new rug. Is there something I can count that for?
Well, and you know, to be fair though, like at the beginning of tax season when I'm doing mine, I tend to do stuff like that too. I just, you know, don't publicly talk about it.
Listen, there's no shame with me.
No, if it can save you money,
if it's out there and I can find it,
that's the way to do it.
To be honest, Congress creates this situation every single time they pass a bill to keep the government funding. It seems like there are tax provisions thrown into it. So things phase in, phase out all the time. And it's hard to keep track of all of this stuff.
Do you think they kind of want people not to know?
It does seem like a lot of criminals don't get caught because of the criminal stuff they're doing. It's because they're not reporting it on taxes.
Well, no, I'm just thinking out. I'm kind of thinking out loud. It's like, you know, we're talking about they don't do a great job of educating people on all the changes. Is that on purpose?
Have you ever watched Capitol Hill? Like they don't. Nothing seems intentional. I don't think they understand it well enough to educate people.
I think that's probably true. And I don't know how far in the weeds we want to get into this, but
not far.
I feel like there is individual rationality in how Congress operates, but it creates an irrational outcome.
That's well said. Yeah.
So it's a whole lot easier to throw in these little bells and whistles into the package and get a bill passed than to like actually hash out something that is more rational and logical that would be a total system overhaul.
Yeah. But that is putting yourself out there on a limb.
Right.
And that's not something politicians enjoy doing.
You've got lobbying groups from like the accountants, the lawyers, the everybody, you know, trying to shape things.
Oh, I'm sure TurboTax lobbies like crazy.
Sure.
Just to keep it complicated enough.
And there are a bunch
How do you get one of them jobs?
Local franchises.
I'm pretty sure you have to be a politician and then like start as a politician
it
first.
It just sounds like you're just being social. I feel like I'd do great with that.
You would do well with that.
I'd have to pick a good cause though. I'd have to lobby for something good. Not TurboTax. I don't have nothing against TurboTax.
I think you would have a lot of fun playing golf and hanging out with congressmen and senators. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Mm. Yeah.
Sounds like a bad path.
Honestly, I feel like I should be doing more work lobbying for our clients with our representatives and senators, because it really is ridiculous how complicated things are. You know, from year to year, the major parts are usually the same,
yeah.
But it's just the little things that are constantly changing. And I'm here to keep track of those things, but I wonder if it's really necessary.
Okay, so we're going to do a couple things here. Robert, real quick, before we kind of hop off the tax train, why don't you hit people with dates? For taxes.
In terms of
he's like March 1st.
Not just random dates.
April 22nd.
Well, in terms of tax filing deadlines, we have the partnership deadline that's coming up March the 15th, as well as the S corporation tax filing. And so those people who own an interest in partnerships or in S-Corps, they should be getting a K-1 for those that they can then use on their personal income tax return. I don't know. When is the tax filing deadline for individuals? I think it's the 15th. The 15th.
I think it was the 18th last year because of how it fell on the weekend 15th or month. Of
for me, April. That feels like light years from now. Tax day 2024 is
Monday, April 15th.
Monday, April the 15th, yeah. And so, yeah, that's quickly approaching. People should be aware that there's still time to contribute to your retirement accounts before you file your tax return.
For last year.
Yeah. For 2023. So, you can still do that until you file your tax return.
So an individual below 50 can do $7,000 into an IRA or Roth IRA for last year and $7,000 for this year.
And $7,500 for those over 50 years of age.
Yeah.
Now, those retirement contributions can only be done before April the 15th. You can't extend that.
Right, and that has to be with earned income, so W-2 money.
That's right, or your small business income.
But it's a great way to reduce your taxes if you go through the traditional IRA or set yourself up for retirement through a Roth IRA to not have to pay taxes when you go to retire.
That's right. Well, with the debt and the spending binge from the federal government, it makes a lot of sense to put in as much money as you can into Roth IRA accounts.
Absolutely.
And so that's what we're telling our clients, that as much money as you can get in those Roth accounts, the better off you will be.
Because you're not getting the tax advantage this year, the year you put it in.
That's
right. That money is going to grow tax-free. You don't have to get those 1099 INTs or DIVs where you're having to pay taxes on the interest and dividends and the growth. You're not having to do that. And then when you retire and go to pull it out, there's no taxes on that. So it's not adding to your overall taxable income, causing your Social Security to be taxable, if that's still around when...
That's right. And so tax rates will increase in the future. It's natural. What is the U.S. debt at now? Like, is it $40 trillion at this point? But they've got to raise money in order to pay the debt that's continually continuing to grow. So it makes more sense to have as much money as you can in these Roth accounts that will be growing tax-free with these after-tax dollars. And it'll be coming out tax-free when you pull it out in retirement.
It's so, almost always the best way to grow wealth.
Yeah, this is the best vehicle. And honestly, when I'm talking about this, I'm talking to myself. Because I wish that I had put more into my Roth accounts when I was starting out. And I, you know, continue to do that, you know, with every year that passes, trying to put in as much as we can.
But if you're 18 years old and you start contributing to a Roth account and you put $100 in a month, you would easily be a millionaire when you go to retire.
That's right. Everybody can be a millionaire.
Everybody can be a millionaire.
It's just a matter of setting aside that money when you're younger and continuing to do it into your old age. And we all can be millionaires.
I feel like that's a mic drop. Everybody can be a millionaire.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
That's right. Everybody out there, you can be a millionaire. Mm-hmm. Just put money aside, invest it.
Well, I know that someone listening to this right now has a tax question.
Oh,
I
yeah.
know that we talked about something on this episode that someone's curious about. Please contact us. Let us help you. Connect at AFIadvisors.com. Also, Robert did mention Lunch and Learn, March 19th at noon here at the AFI office. It's tax time in Tennessee. We do have some RSVPs available. I think we have about 5 people signed up. We have a maximum of 20, so you don't want to miss out on that. Again, email us at connect@afiadvisors.com to RSVP for that Lunch and Learn, and you can actually see Robert in person and hear him talk. And then you can decide whether you just want to hear him talk or see him ever again.
No, I really appreciate you coming on here. Every
yes,
time
Robert,
you talk
thank
about
you.
Stuff, it's just
that was really good.
Pure
and,
information.
Yeah, and people, these are all the things, and this is why I always want you to do this, because all the things that you talk about are all the things that people have a gazillion questions about.
Absolutely.
And it's just, you know, people need to get the conversation going, and you're, like you said earlier, you know, it's not the most exciting forefront, like everyone's rushing to get things done.
But he's approachable. He's easily able to answer questions and help people out, and he's great at guiding people. You don't typically see that in a lot of people in
our
industry.
I already gave out all of my compliments.
I know.
Oh, shucks, y'all.
Oh. Well, Robert, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you, everybody, for listening. Reach out with any questions you have, and we hope to see you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show or maybe even be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thank you for all of the continued support.